So one of the things I want to do this morning is remind you, I took some notes last week. If you're a guest with us here this morning, we're super glad that you're here. We're taking a little bit different approach to the scripture, but we're going back and looking at Acts chapter 10. Pastor Chris did a great job last week. And so I want to highlight some of the things that I took down in my notes and just remind you of some of the things that he said. He said a lot of great things, but think about this. God uses everyday ordinary people in everyday ordinary situations to promote his kingdom. I love that because that has to do with all of us collectively. That doesn't have anything to do with Tim and Chris or the elder team. That is the power of the gospel for each and every one of us. And I wrote this down. When we let God work within us, he empowers us to influence the people around us. Why are we doing what we're doing here? Because we are so committed to trying to get each and every person to make a personal choice to embrace Christ as Savior and Lord, and then to see him empower each and every one of us to influence the people around us. That's the message of the gospel. So, I just want to be honest with you that I have been moved over the last several weeks with Acts chapter 10. It really resonates and hits home with me personally. I talked to Desiree weeks, months ago. We were sharing hearts about some of the things that I know about her and Jesse, and I know about her. And so I went up to her last Sunday after Pastor Chris was done speaking. I said, I think next Sunday's our Sunday. And she said, okay. And so I'm so grateful that she's agreed to help me out. And so one of the things that I want you to know that my goal this morning is to help some of us, but to also help all of us see the expanded perspective of the scope of the gospel message. So this morning, two words, expanded perspective. What we're trying to accomplish, and I want you to hear from her story, her background, her life, and I hope that it will work on your heart, soul, and mind to show you the power of the gospel worldwide and the fact that we all need to have an expanded perspective. So, Desiree, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up? And for some people that may not know where it is, give us a general location of countries around it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Desiree. I was born in Paraguay in South America. So most people have struggled with maps. I wish I had one, but Brazil is right above Paraguay and Argentina is below it. So there you go. Quick geography.
Good.
So yeah, I grew up in a small Mennonite background community in a town called Philadelphia. It's spelled with an F.
Okay.
German thing.
Yeah. That's cool.
So people are like, well, how do you spell it that way? And that's how it sounds in German. So I, as you hear, I speak other languages. So German is one of them.
Uh-huh. So how many languages do you speak?
I speak four languages. So a dialect was the first. Dialect and German kind of like overlap.
I can't even say that I speak one well. Okay.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah. No. I understand. For all the English teachers that listen to me regularly, they would say, no, you're still working on English. Okay, good. Good.
Yeah. So then from second grade on, we had Spanish always. And then by the time high school rolls around, you do most of your classes actually in Spanish.
Okay.
And then I came to America to learn English. So.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So Jesse, if you haven't got to know Jesse and Desiree have a cross-cultural relationship. And for those of you that don't know, I've got my hat on because I'm from Texas. And so my wife and I, we have a cross-cultural relationship too. I was from Texas. She's from New Jersey. She spoke New Jersey and I spoke Texas. And so we had to figure out the language barrier there. So it was just fun because that was back in the early 80s and there wasn't a whole lot of that going on. So one of the things that I think is really cool, and I want you to hear, because one of the things that we're trying to just really step back and take a look at this morning is the power of the gospel and Father God's heart for the world. And so what I really love is just hearing, like, how did you, okay, let me ask, because I totally forgot. When you studied the scripture as a child, what language were you reading in?
It was German.
Okay. So she had a German Bible. And so she's studying the scripture. She's got a German Bible, Mennonite background. We've got people from Mennonite backgrounds in both services. Okay. So how did that Mennonite group that you were a part of wind up in Paraguay? And give us a little bit of background about how all that worked.
Okay. So early 1700s, there was Martin Luther translated the Bible into a more applicable everyday kind of language. And that's kind of where the Mennonites start out their movement as well, because, with the translation of the Bible, there was a lot of people that had gotten baptized as young children, mm-hmm. you know, it not being my decision. Mm-hmm. So they would baptize again. And there was a lot of, kind of almost like persecution mm-hmm. because of that.
Okay.
So the Mennonites were in, the group I come from was in Germany and Switzerland. And because of what was going on at the time, they ended up in Holland for quite a while in just farming the land. But as you know, Mennonites have really big families. So eventually Holland doesn't have any more space for people. Yeah. So at that time, there was also rumors about the Mennonites losing their freedom to not serve in the military.
So then
Russia invited them to come because they had lots and lots of farmland that loved to give Mennonites. They're basically, you can teach your German, you can teach the Bible, you can not serve in the military, that's so important to you. So basically have your own government within your small community. Mm-hmm. And that went really well for a long time. But then the communists started to be like, no, we all need to be, speaking Russian and started enforcing that in schools and were getting after teachers and pastors.
Mm-hmm.
People would get ripped out of their beds in the middle of the night and deported.
Real persecution.
Or not deported, yeah. Really just to labor camps.
Yeah.
And most of them never to be seen again. So the Mennonites started to realize, hey, we got to do something,
mm-hmm.
and went to get papers, try to sell their farm. At some point, the market is so flooded with farms wanting to be sold, you can't. So they just pack what they can, and in Germany and Canada, I think, got involved and organized trains and ships for them to get out. Some interesting stories. I'll spare you the details, or we can talk another time.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
So Paraguay had lost the Triple Alliance War. So this is 1932.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere earlier than that, they had lost the war and lost a lot of their population. So they're like, yes, we want people that farm and all the things that is important to you. We love that. So just come on. So Paraguay was one of the places that a lot of Mennonites mm-hmm. went to. But I mean, there was nothing there. There was tents in a field. Horrendous startup. No, there was not even a road, So, mm-hmm. But it's very different now.
Yeah, developed now.
Developed, yeah. People have private planes and, there's roads everywhere, just very, just like life here, really, just a different country.
So that's a little bit of background, but tell us about, like, how you heard the gospel message, where, what your church experience was like as a child, how God worked in your life through that situation.
Yeah, I grew up in church, always going to church, and my family, you know, my grandparents, you know, very wonderful Christian examples for me. My parents started, we went to just a traditional Mennonite church, but I was about 10 when they started hosting a Bible study in our own living room that went a little bit deeper. I should have asked my mom exactly why they started it, but there was people, different churches in our town that came to this Bible study, and they said, we just want to know more about God. And at some point, they learned, you know, the Acts story, because the Mennonite background is, we believe in the Holy Spirit, but it stops when Acts stops. It's not a thing for today. Mm-hmm. So, but as they were studying the Word of God, they were learning there's more than what we've been taught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we would have this big circle of chairs, and the kids had to sit in the circle. It wasn't very fun, but
yeah.
Hey, that's babysitting for you, right?
Yeah, exactly. I grew up like that too. Yeah.
So
some of my best naps were like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we would sometimes it went too long, we'd be asleep. It's fine. Yeah. So that's kind of how I grew up, you know, in the Word of God, but just then, you know, it going deeper. Yeah. And eventually my parents were one of the 10 couples that started a new church in their community,
yeah,
the non-denominational background.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So when you hear a story and you hear what they experience in Paraguay and even how they wind up in Paraguay, doesn't it sound like some of the stuff that we're reading in the book of Acts, like the persecution and that movement and that desire to worship freely and to find a place, and even the persecution that they experienced in Russia to be able to, you know, you think about where they started. So here's a woman that grew up in Paraguay speaking German and speaking Spanish and, you know, and studying a German Bible in Paraguay, you know, and yet part of what we're trying to celebrate is that the fact that God, not just here in our region, but all over this planet, God is working and the Holy Spirit is speaking, and there's beautiful movements that God is orchestrating. And so even like when I got to spend time with Jesse, and then I got to talk to Jesse and Desiree and get to know their family and hear their stories, there was this heart connection because of our pursuit of Jesus and our desire to allow the Holy Spirit to work. So I want you to just let that kind of set the stage for what we're going to read in Acts chapter 10. We're going to read in Acts chapter 10, verses 28 through 33 together. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James. And I want you to just think about this, because there again, what we're trying to accomplish this morning is an expanded perspective. And I am so super proud of this church family and the things that are going on, the things that you're doing, the things that you're involved in, and the love that you are learning to share. But I have to just tell you from my heart, I believe that God wants greater things from us. And that is only going to happen as we search the scriptures and we search our own hearts and we allow him to expand our perspective on ourselves, on him, and on the people around us. Acts chapter 10, verse 28. Then he said to them, this is Peter, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. Peter's just being straightforward, like, dude, you know how we roll. You know what the standard is. You know what the expectation is. But then he says, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Allow Peter's words to just resonate in your mind and soul. Therefore, I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked then, for what reason have you sent me? So then Cornelius said, this is Cornelius, the guy that naturally he shouldn't even be associating with because of certain standards and perspectives and guidelines. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour this very hour, this same hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms, your charitable gifts are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here. His surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to him immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So I want you to see this incredible thread of God's word. So God is speaking to Peter, and simultaneously at the same time, he's speaking to Cornelius. God is at work in both of their lives. And even as you heard Desiree, like wherever you were at that point, God is at work in Paraguay, and God is at work in the United States, and God is at work in Korea, and God is at work in the Sudan, and God is at work. I mean, think about this incredible big God who has this expanded perspective of the world, which is much different than our natural perspective. Think about what Peter is being challenged with here. The message of the church that was launched at Pentecost, it was to be a message of presence and of godly love. And what it was designed and still is this movement that would forever change the world. A movement like had never been seen before. So you take these people that they had this one perspective of God, and now through Pentecost, the church is launched, and so now this perspective is enlarged and it's blown out because now it's about God is with you. The Holy Spirit is here to be with you. Jesus left, and now the Holy Spirit is here for each and every person that will believe. And what is the thrusting manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit is this uncanny supernatural love, this godly love that's supposed to be shared with people. Think about what's taking place here. Peter was by no means a bad person. Let me just say this. If we step on your toes a little bit this morning, we're not trying to say you're a bad person. Peter was not a bad person. I'm not saying Peter was a bad person, but God was working to expand his perspective on people and the power of the good news of Jesus. Up until this point, Peter was the pillar of the church. But up until this point, when God revealed this, Peter had a limited perspective. I hope that you can see that. God is trying to expand his perspective. It wasn't like he was a bad dude. He was in sin. He just needed an enlarged perspective. Peter had a very good reasons. Now, please hear me. Peter had very good reasons for his limited perspective. And his views were justified in his own mind and in the minds of the people around him. They were justified up until this point in his life. He had reasons to feel the way that he did. And yet God was trying to show him something bigger. So some of you might be sitting there thinking, okay, I hear what your family and the church, and they moved to Paraguay. And I love the little nugget that you shared with me in between services. So tell us, you know, because you could think, okay, well, God's looking out for these people. And yet, just like what we're reading in the book of Acts, God was moving this group of believers around for his glory and for the proclamation of the gospel. So when y'all got to, when your grandparents, great-grandparents got to that area, what did you tell me about what your grandparents, your grandfather would say about the people?
Yeah, so my grandfather was 5 years old when he arrived in Paraguay. So I'm third generation in, you know, immigrant, I guess, to Paraguay.
Okay.
My grandfather learned quite a few of the native Indian tribes' languages because there was quite, I should know the number, but I don't. There's quite a few different groups that all have their own language. Mm-hmm. And they lived in a really uninhabited area that was quite. So when the Mennonites arrived, they have the mission sense, right? We need to share this with the people. So my grandfather learned the language, and that, you know, radio stations and that kind of stuff would pop up. And my grandfather would love to listen to the radio in a different language that okay. he was learning. And but he always, we kind of at first were joking with him about it, because he would pray for his brown brothers and sisters, yeah. you know, because they have much darker skin than we do.
Okay.
But he would always be praying for them, because there was so much, you know, it, culturally, there's so many different things that you're trying sure. to translate the Bible into a language that you're learning. You know, that's
yeah.
a different story. But it's a good, it reached so many people. And now they have their own setups, they do their own churches. You know, it just grew from there immensely.
So do you see the power of the gospel? God moves this group of people to Paraguay, and then they're there, and what we would call them today, we'd call them unreached people groups. You know, we have a 1040 window, if you've heard that. So they wind up there, and they're like, okay, these people don't know the gospel. They don't know about Jesus. So they start naturally learning the language. Why? Because they want to tell them about their Savior. And then these become brothers and sisters. And I just love the fact that he's like, he would pray openly, the love that he had for his brown brothers and sisters. Yeah. I just think that that's powerful. Think about that as we continue to read in Acts. Acts chapter 10. Let's read verse 34 through 43 together. Now, I want you to just hang with me, because I want you to just allow this powerful truth to permeate your heart. Then Peter opened his mouth and he said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. No partiality. But in every nation, and every single nation on a global scale, brothers and sisters, every single nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Now, we can just read this and kind of take it for granted. For Peter and where Peter's coming from, these are like life-altering proclamations that he's saying. The word which God sent to his children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus, he is Lord of all. The word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. You read all the way through those verses. We get down to verse 42. "And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead." Verse 43. "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission or forgiveness of sins." Whoever. Whoever. So, I believe that when we read this, we don't realize the monumental adjustment to the concept of Judaism in light of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus as Savior and Lord. You got to understand, all their history, and even things that God had said to them to protect them and to protect the message, that this is a monumental shift. I want to address our human nature this morning. Most of us, and please hear my heart, most of us here this morning have an inclination toward exclusion as well as inclusion. Let me explain what I mean by the terms that I'm using this morning. So I'm going to go to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and in both the words, I'm going to use the second definition, because this is what I'm trying to focus on this morning. Merriam-Webster says it about exclusive. When you use the word exclusive, it means excluding others from participation or snobbishly aloof. Now, as the Church of Jesus Christ, I feel like that it's important for us to own our stuff. I've had conversations with a lot of you, and you've had church experience where the people that are the church people fit this category of being snobbishly aloof. You know why I'm doing this? The whole term, look down your nose at other people. exclusive. And then the definition of inclusive, the second definition is including everybody. I love it when there's simple definitions like that. Inclusive, including everybody. So let me go back to exclusive. Most of us are specific, either consciously or subconsciously, about who we decide to exclude in our lives. And let's be honest. Most of us have a tendency to do this. And then we use terms like, well, I prefer, or I enjoy, or I like, or I appreciate certain qualities, but it's to the exclusion of those who do not meet our criteria. Now, understand, I know that this is sensitive ground that we're talking about this morning. And I appreciate you being up here and being honest and sharing that, because hopefully you're adding some salve and some softness to this. Let me get you to think about inclusive. In the same manner, most of us are specific, either consciously or subconsciously, about who we decide to include in our lives. And let's be honest, it's natural. It's very natural to be this way. Please understand my heart this morning, as I'm not throwing stones or making critical statements about us as human beings. I'm simply talking about or pointing out some of our natural proclivities or predispositions. And as I get older, I realize that most of us have very legitimate reasons for the exclusiveness or the inclusiveness, because a lot of it comes out of self-protection. It comes out of hurt. It comes out of pain. It comes out of rejection. And I know that for the majority of us, the reason that we've excluded certain people and that we only include certain people is because of self-preservation and hurt and pain. But I want to say unequivocally that the whole of Scripture, but especially what God was revealing to Peter in Acts chapter 10, that he wants to expand our perspectives this morning in a very definite way. I've found that it's important for me to understand the motivation in other people's lives for why they exclude or they include, and the only way that I can do that is to get to know people. Like when I heard Jesse and when I heard Desiree's story, and I would encourage you to ask them questions and to spend time with them. They've got a rich, beautiful story. Mark asked in the last service, he wanted to know about how they got together, her from Paraguay, him from here. And I'm like, that's another whole good detailed story. You'll have to ask him about that after the service. But I've got this cowboy hat on because I want to just be really candid with you this morning before we wrap things up. The way that I was raised in Texas and the things that I was naturally exposed to. What I'm trying to encourage you about the power of the Word of God and pressing in to relationship with Jesus and learning his ways, what has changed Tim Duggins is me getting in the Scriptures and trying to understand the heart of God. Because I can remember growing up in my church family trying to put these things together and trying to understand some of these things, because I can remember being so confused about how our little church would send a missionary to the Congo and we would bring somebody in and make this big deal about these missionaries reaching people in the Congo. And I knew men in our church family that if there was an African-American gentleman across the street, that there would not be any interaction or no dialogue, or even if he needed help, there wouldn't be a natural response. And I used to wonder about, okay, how is it that we are sending people to reach these people, but here in our United States of America, if this similar population exists, why is there love being withheld? And then I can remember, especially because growing up in Texas, I can remember with the Hispanic population And I can remember men and even women within our church family that would make snide, derogatory comments about that population, and yet we would get a group of people together that would go to Central America and try to evangelize Spanish-speaking people. And I can just remember being so confused about that. Because I'm like, okay, it just didn't make sense to me. And what began to make more sense to me is when I began to press into the scripture and in my own relationship, and the Holy Spirit began to reveal parts of my heart and mind and my thinking that were ungodly or anti-gospel based on what he was trying to accomplish, because I had a very small perspective. Are you tracking with me? And so what has changed me through the years is my pursuit of Jesus and my love for other people as he is expanding my perspective. So I just want to remind you, we talk about it regularly, but I want to read this to you and I want you to think about this as we wrap things up. And then Desiree's got some powerful final thoughts to share with you. Matthew chapter 22, 36 through 40, we talk about it all the time. It's the very basis for why we are what we are here at Mountain View. In the NLT, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Going back to the Old Testament. Let me just tell you now, if you write down Deuteronomy 6:5 for one of the things he says and Leviticus 19:18 for the other thing he says, you're going to see that he's quoting from the Old Testament. When Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. We need to expand our perspectives. And part of that is expanding our love to people in general. Showing love and respect to people does not mean, and I'm saying this because I know I have conversations regularly, there's confusion within the church about what love looks like. Showing love and respect to people does not mean that we cheerlead their lifestyle choices that are ungodly. Or it does not mean that we support the indulgence of sinful choices. So then what does it mean to love others? What it means is that we make space for them in our vision, in our hearts, and in our minds. Do we even see? Because if we can't see other people, how are we going to make space for them? And I'm just going to share from my experience this week at the fair. There were several times where there was a Spanish-speaking young man at the fair that I was literally trying to engage and try to make eye contact with, because I see people and I want to affirm and I want that person to know that I see them and that they matter. And can I just tell you something? In our current world, to be seen is a huge step to be able to express love and affirmation. So I'm literally trying to position myself in a way that he can see me, and he is purposefully not looking at me, not responding to me, not even acknowledging that I'm there, but I'm not upset because I know why. And most of you, if you'll be honest, you know why. Because what he's already experienced from Caucasian people is a demeaning, derogatory, sneering, looking down their nose. So he's taken this posture because it's a posture of self-protection. And I'm just saying that because when I was younger, I might have been one of those guys. I'm just being honest with you about my foundation and the way that God has changed me through the years. So what we are being called to as a church family is a greater expanded perspective of ministry. And it, what it means is understanding that God has something great that He is trying to accomplish through us on the most personal level, and it extends to people that we might on the outside exclude from our lives and not include. Now, I want to say this real quickly. When you look at Cornelius, Cornelius was an unexpected voice in Peter's life. And yet God was trying to use Cornelius to transform Peter's perspective and expand his perspective. Let me ask you this. How many of us have cheated ourselves out of an expanded perspective because the very person that we assume we know their hearts and we exclude them based on external things and we don't include them or open up to allow space for them? What if God wanted to use that person to transform our lives? In the same way that He used Cornelius to radically transform Peter. See, we all struggle with exclusion and inclusion issues on all different levels. And I'm just saying this is super important because I know that God is calling us individually and collectively as a church family to love like we've never loved before. And that means learning to love the way that He loves. And it's not about our normal standards of picking and choosing. Some of you this morning have traveled the world, so your perspective has naturally been enlarged. Some of you this morning have only traveled within a local area of the United States. Obviously, when you travel, it does affect your perspective. When I've gone to Brazil, I know where Paraguay is because I've been to Brazil a couple times. Obviously, it's going to change my perspective. But your physical travel is not what matters this morning, but rather it's the posture of your heart before God. Because the reason I am the way I am today, yes, God has used my travels outside the United States, but it's my study of the Word of God and yielding myself to Him and saying, Father, I want to see people the way that You do. Help me. And He says, then you love that person. Some of you this morning, you've met with me privately and I've annoyed you because you'll share your heart and a struggle that you're having and I'll challenge you to love the person. And you look at me and you're like, I don't want to love them. I'm like, I get it. Love them anyway. No, that's not why I came to you. I don't want to love them anyway. And I'll say to you, love them anyway. Well, how do I do that? Same way I'm learning how to do it. As God says, I want you to love them. And you know what I say? Mm-mm, I don't like them. He goes, well, I want you to learn to love them. I don't want to learn to love them. They hurt me. They annoyed me. And He says, love them anyway. And I'm like, I can't love them if you don't help me. And He's like, now we're getting somewhere. Because He wants to enlarge my heart. What do you think? How does all this hit you? What do you feel about what we're talking about this morning?
Well, I think just like you say, you know, the love that we experience in our relationship with the Lord, it should come out in our daily life. It doesn't, I mean, obviously here in church, we hear it in your sermon or in the conversations, but also in the grocery store or maybe at the fair. Or, you know, sometimes it's just a hello, I see you kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes it turns into more, but it's love, the Lord's love everywhere.
On the most basic
every
level.
Every day, yeah, out the door.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the simple things that we do. I believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to expand the perspective of this church family. I know that He's trying to expand mine. Does somebody come to your mind that maybe you've made a conscious choice? I'm not going to talk to them. I'm going to withhold the good news of the gospel and the hope that I have because, in whatever reason, fill in the blank. We are supposed to be a revolutionary group of people, but not revolutionary from the standpoint of picking up physical arms, but because we are so growing in this relationship with the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in us, and seeking the scriptures, that we are uncommon lovers. To where the people look around and go, dude, I don't know why you're being nice to me because I have been making fun of you for 2 years. And like, it's because I pray for you. Whatever the response is, I believe that God is calling us this morning to a new level of love and an expanded perspective. And I hope that as you hear Desiree's story and her family, that you'll see that God is way bigger than these counties. The God is at work. He's a mighty God. He's powerful. He's drawing people to himself all over the planet. The fact that she's telling us about how she grew up and where she was on the map, and the Holy Spirit was vibrantly working in this community to call people out. And she's here testifying of that for our learning this morning. We have to have an expanded perspective. And I know that the Holy Spirit is using what you've shared. So thank you for being willing to sit up here.
Thanks for having me.
And get to know her and Jesse. Have them over. Okay? Spend time with some rich stories. Wonderful girls. They've got an amazing family. With an expanded perspective of the world and the gospel message. Let's stand. Let's continue our worship this morning.